third week of marriage and parenting. Our first 2 weeks were spent figuring out all the tiny intricacies of marriage. And based on two fantastic sermons, we learned that marriage, after that enlightening message that Danny and I had, you should have marriage just about figured out. Thanks, y'all. You're done. You're fired. You're done. Get out of here. So we learned that marriage is a great mystery. But it also serves a purpose, a very important purpose, and also how it's the incredible picture of Christ and his bride, which is the church. It's us. And so I make the bold claim, and I will stand firmly beside it, that marriage is the hardest thing that you will ever willingly decide to do in your entire life. Do you realize that you, when you got married, you did that willingly, right? So if you're about ready to get divorced, if you're online or you're in this auditorium and you were fighting with your spouse and you were ready to throw them out of the car, just know that you signed up for that. And there was a day where you would have done absolutely anything in the whole wide world for that person that you're having trouble with. All right? So we understand that. But now that I'm raising 4 children of my own, 2 of which, I've got 1 teenager, 1 is almost going to be a teenager, and I'm trying to raise them in this insane world, I can confidently say that parenting is number 2 on the list of hardest things that I or you will ever have to do in your entire life. So Danny and I are going to take these next 2 weeks, and we're going to talk about what the Bible says about parenting. And so more than likely, I can almost guarantee that I will step on some toes this morning. Because parents tend to get real ouchy, real defensive when it comes to their parenting style. They'll defend it. But see, God's word is true now. It was true in the past. And it will be true forever. So I'm not being rude, but I don't care how the world thinks or how a psychologist thinks I should parent my kids. I want to know what God has to say. And if you're curious, God has a lot to say about being a parent in the Bible. And so I titled this message, Adoption is Not an Option. Now, listen, Annie was like worried, and she's like, that's a hot button issue, like adoption. Like, I'm like, no, it has nothing to do. I love adoption. I wish they would drop the price by about 40 grand. You know what I'm saying? I love adoption. I think it's a fantastic option. I have plenty of friends that have had to adopt, but it rhymed, right? Adoption is not an option. And it kind of made you think, like, what the heck's this guy about to say? But I titled it Adoption is Not an Option because of this. Just like those, remember when I preached and we talked about the days in marriage where you wouldn't care if the moon fell on their head? Right? They hung the moon at the beginning. Now you're calling it down, fire from heaven to consume this person. So just like you'll have those marriage days, you're going to have the days where you really have a consideration and think to yourself, the fire station is not that far away. Abraham, go meet your new daddy, Sam Sauter, who's a firefighter, right? We've had that conversation. Or like I've got 4 kids, like, how much would I really miss one? Just, you know what I'm saying? I still have 75% of my children. So when I say adoption is not an option, listen, you can't give your kids away, right? You got to keep them. You just like you married your spouse, it's for better or worse. It's your child. It's going to happen. You're going to have those days. There is no perfect parent-child relationship, just like there's no perfect marriage relationship. And so having kids, it's a huge gamble, if you think about it. You have no idea what that offspring is going to become someday. right? Jeffrey Dahmer had parents. Adolf Hitler had parents. Joseph Stalin had parents, right? And when things go wrong with that offspring, normally, they blame it on you, mom and dad. And even more often than that, they'll blame it. You'll blame it on who? Yourself. And so I hope Jeffrey Dahmer's parents are watching this, because you're going to learn something. Today I'll give you three aspects of parenting that must be present if you want to set you and the one you helped create, setting them up for success. It's not going to be perfect. There's going to be times where it's not even pretty. But there's a design and there's a reason why you became a parent. I want to start with this verse. It's very important. Proverbs 9, verses 10. You need to put this somewhere. You need to highlight it in your Bible. You need to hang it up on your mirror. You need to put this somewhere that you can read it and meditate on this a lot, because this is a good place to start your day. It goes like this. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. See, I could begin every sermon with this verse to remind each one of us where we need to start. In your journey, whether it's parenting, whether it's marriage, whatever kind of relationship it might be, any search for wisdom and truth on any topic must start, as Proverbs said, with the fear of the Lord. You're going to notice a trend today with my verse selection. A lot of verses are going to be coming out of Proverbs, okay? The reason is, the guy that wrote it, his name is Solomon. Solomon just so happened to be the wisest person to ever walk on the face of the planet outside of Jesus Christ himself, right? Solomon had a God-given wisdom. He asked for it. God said, here, you get anything you want. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for girls. He didn't ask for a new chariot. He asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him. And so he wrote Proverbs. He had a lot of wives. He had a lot of concubines. He probably had a lot of kids, okay? Just my guess. And so this is his note, his letter to his kids. And so you're going to see a trend of being a lot of stuff's going to be out of Proverbs, all right? So back to the fear, this fear of the Lord. This isn't a shaking in your boots fear. This isn't cowering in the corner ready for him to strike you with a bolt of lightning. This is a fear that is, it's a respect and it's a reverence, all right? It's a reverence of who God is. It's obeying him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments, right? It's submitting to his discipline and worshiping him. Unfortunately, in our homes today, I don't see a whole lot of a fear of the Lord. And I'm talking to you, Christian. See, I already know that the lost person doesn't fear the Lord. If they feared the Lord, they would repent and get saved. But if I investigated your home life right now, I came over, pastor knocks on the door, it's Sunday afternoon, you didn't have time to clean anything up. In your home life, would there be earmarks of Christianity? See, we can't begin to make our kids look like Jesus when we aren't giving them any kind of example to follow. One more disclaimer before I even give my first point. I want to say this, that the younger that we start to do this stuff with our children, what I'm about to read, the younger, the better. See, training your children, it begins at infancy. Entire fields of study have been dedicated to learning about personality and behavior of the human being. And your personality, you know what your personality is, right? It's who you're going to be for the rest of your life. Do you know when that's mostly set by? Like this age, this is basically who you are for the rest of your life. Do you have any idea what kind of age that we're talking about? Six. 6 years old, and I read a lot of studies over the week that even they brought the number down to like four. So anywhere between 4 and 6 years old, about 80 to 90% of your personality is completely developed. And so what I'm trying to say is that parents, you have such a small window. You have such a small window with your kids, and I don't want you to miss it. And as far as that goes, I could probably lump grandparents in here as well, because guess what? There's a lot of grandparents that are raising kids. So when I say parents, I mean grandparents, I mean steps, I mean anybody that is taking care of a child, right? These three principles will cover the gamut. All right? These three things are going to help you. Number one is this, discipline. Discipline, it's become such a dirty word in our culture. When I Googled how to discipline your children, that's all I looked up. I put in Google, how to discipline your children. A step-by-step plan popped up, had steps. And some of them I agreed with, all right? There were some like set clear expectations. I agree with that one. Praise the positives. I agree with that one. But then the steps kind of started getting off into the weeds a little bit, and it started saying stuff like distract creatively. Use calm consequences. Does calm include throwing whatever small appliance that's in hands? Is that calm? In here, just quick show of just someone that can volunteer. What's the weirdest thing you've ever got thrown at you by a parent? Blow dryers, shoes, bottle opener. What? Anybody had something chucked at them that you want to admit? I'm not saying because my parents will watch this, but as a parent, you get mad, whatever's close. Tub of butter. We got a tub of butter in the front row. What is it?
Hairbrush.
I'm sure we got a lot of hairbrushes. Using calm consequences. This one's not a bad idea. It said to pause, right? Sometimes pausing's not a bad idea. Sometimes stepping back's not a bad idea. But then it said to praise yourself. I thought that was funny. Praise yourself. So that was this step-by-step plan of how to discipline my child. See, I don't know everything, but I know some things. And what I do know is that a child needs discipline. Proverbs 13:24 says this. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate. I say again, hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. So, listen, I just want to get this out of the way, okay? Do not misunderstand me and do not misunderstand Scripture. The Bible or Matt Trammell is by no means advocating child abuse. I'm not, no matter how much I want to sometimes, I am not ever going to advocate for child abuse. But the Bible does teach very clearly that physical discipline is appropriate, beneficial, and necessary. Amen. See, your goal as a parent is to correct and teach, not to cause actual physical damage. But the contrast here in Proverbs is very clear. Per the Bible, per black and white, if you hate your kids, you'll spare the rod of discipline. That's one end, okay? If you hate your kids. If you love your kids, you'll discipline them. So I don't care what version of the Bible that you're reading. I don't know another way to translate that verse. But let me follow it up with this, okay? Because some of y'all are going like, okay, he's talking crazy. Proverbs 22:15 says this. You ready? A youngster. I like that. A youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it far away. Listen, if the Trammell kids were or are acting foolish, depending on the infraction, physical discipline was incredibly effective at driving out their foolishness. Proverbs 23:13-14. Don't fail to discipline your children. The rod of punishment won't kill them. Verse 14, physical discipline may well save them from death. Those of you that are anti-spanking, just listen to me read that sentence one more time. Physical discipline may well save them from death. Listen, parents. I know that this next sentence is going to sound super common sense, all right? But I'm here to tell you that common sense is not so common anymore. But I'm going to say this sentence and you're going to say, duh. But you're going to parent completely different than the sentence that I'm about to say. You ready? Parents, you can't just let your kid do whatever they want to do. Not at any age. Children must be disciplined. See, this is the thing, and I try to talk to parents that are struggling. You think that you're saving yourself on the front end. And in some ways, you are saving yourself some issues on the front end. Because when you give in, when they wear you down, that's easier. When they cry and they whine and they, when they're 2 years old and they're throwing a fit and they want something, it's easier to say, here you go. But let me tell you, parenting is about the long game. It's not short term. Parents, you need to make the hard decisions now so that things will be easier later. It's a whole lot easier to deal with a 2-year-old throwing a fit than it is a 20-year-old throwing a fit. You have to make the hard decisions now. Many parents choose easy now, and then it's prison later. That's a little extreme, but guess what? I'm old enough now to know people that were brats as little kids. They were brats as young people, and guess what? They're brats as adults. They struggle with authority. They can't keep a job. They can't keep a relationship. I'm going to give you the key to physical discipline. I'm not even going to charge the price of admission. This is free because this is the key. If you haven't heard anything else, hear this. The key to physical discipline is that it has to, it must be done early. I'm talking like in diapers early. Again, this is not an assault. This is a redirection, right? When my little 8-month-old did something, I could swat him on the butt with his diaper. It's a redirection, right? It's not abuse, but it has to be done early. If you're still needing to spank your 10-year-old, you've missed it. Parent, you've already missed the boat. I spanked all 4 of my kids, every single one of them. That's on video. I'm probably going to have somebody knocking on my door. I got good kids, so leave me alone. They're not perfect. Eli probably needs more spankings, actually. He's my youngest. But I'm telling you, I will not hesitate, not a moment, if it's appropriate. Because guess what? I can't tell you the last time. I've got a 14-year-old, I've got an 11-year-old, I've got an 8-year-old, and I've got a 6-year-old. I can't tell you the last time that I spanked one of my kids. Actually, I take that back. I spanked Eli when he rear-backed and just punched Mackenzie right in the back, middle of the back. They were wrestling. I just watched him. He just goes, wham, and just, and I spanked him. All right. Anyway, so that was the last time. I didn't want to lie to you. But it's been a while because guess what? I did it here, young, to where now it just takes a look. My kids are programmed to know that dad means business. And if they are in any way off the reservation, they better quickly find their way back on the reservation. But guess what? That started a long time ago, right? There's stories about like wild horses, and they have the fence here when it's little. And then they keep it there, and the horse grows, and it gets older. I'm messing this up, but it could just step over it, but it doesn't because it thinks that it's, right? We have to be programmed. We have to be taught. We have to be disciplined. These are things that must take place for a human being to operate correctly. Unfortunately, I'm seeing some bad parenting, and we're having some children that are not operating correctly. Is the Bible saying, Matt, that you must spank your kids to be an effective parent? Because there's still some of you in here, and some of you that are going to watch this online, that are saying, I don't care what anyone says, I will never put my hands on my child. I understand that. So is the Bible saying that you must do that? Absolutely not. Let me say that again. Absolutely not. You can be an effective parent without physical discipline. I, as your pastor and as a fellow parent, highly recommend it. The Bible highly recommends it. But guess what? Not all kids need to be, they don't need the same kind of discipline. For example, I could have spanked Abe all day long. All day. I could have wore the dude out with very minimal, it would be like just very temporal, like it would fix it very temporarily. And so, you know, after my hands, you know, started hurting and like, I'm tired of spanking him. We just got to figure something out. So Annie and I sat down and we said, we got to find a more effective form of discipline for his personality. And guess what we found? If I sent this dude to bed an hour before his sisters, his younger sisters, you would have thought that the world was coming to an end, right? I didn't need to go physical with Abraham. I had to find something else based on his personality. So is it always physical? No. Do you have to be effective physically to be an effective parent? No. On the other hand is Mackenzie, okay? My little Mac. Oh, my goodness. I could count on maybe one, but definitely two hands on how many times I've had to spank her in her whole life. From very young, a very simple change of tone would elicit an immediate, am I right, Annie? I mean, just an immediate response. And so I very rarely had to use physical discipline with Mackenzie. So, while spanking isn't necessary to be an effective parent, it's a great tool to have when used, listen to me, when used appropriately. You've got a backside for a reason. And those spoons are just perfect length, width, aerodynamic. Who got spoons, man? I had to go get my own. Like, it was up on and I had to go and I had to get it off and bring the weapon of choice to my parents that were going to use it on me. Man, talk about a walk of shame. I'm just like, what? Can I run? Is it too late? Do I have enough supplies? I didn't have my bag ready as I'm carrying my paddle. To be paddled. Oh, it's very effective. Just use it appropriately. Proverbs 29:15 says this: to discipline a child produces wisdom. But what? A mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. It's embarrassing. But guess what, parent? There's no bad kid. There's no bad kid. There's a broken sin nature that we're dealing with, mixed with some ineffective parenting. That's a bad combo. You got broken people trying to fix other broken people. We're just trying to do the best that we can, but sometimes you don't get it right. And so mom and dad, guess what? You have to get your stuff together so that you can be a good example for your kids. See, you aren't designed to be their friend. I have a lot of parents that want to be friends with their kids. And guess what? Later on in life, you guys want to hang out and be friends. Hopefully, if you've done it right, that would be the design to where you can have a little different relationship. But as children, as young adults, as teenagers, parents, they need you. And I got parents in here that are saying, my kid's 40 years old and he still needs me. You weren't designed to be your friend. They need discipline. Your child needs discipline. The second aspect of parenting necessary for your child's success is this. We have discipline, number one. Number two is this: guidance. Guidance. Proverbs 22:6 says this: train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. See, there's a distinct difference in discipline and guidance. So discipline is this. Discipline is a rule-focused, compliance-focused, right? More like as a father, this is the expected behavior. If you don't do this, then these are the consequences, right? So it's compliance-based. It's rule-based. Guidance is engagement-focused, right? It's learning focus. It's I'm coming alongside you and I'm kind of guiding you and I'm leading you and I'm keeping you in these parameters. So you see the difference? There's a difference between discipline and guidance. They need both. See, this popular verse in Proverbs is mostly misinterpreted, okay? When you hear this verse, most people don't really know what it means. So I'm going to tell you. You ready? The way he should go. All right, train up a child in the way he should go. That does not mean obedience. I'm sorry to tell you that, moms, because this verse has been used a lot by worried moms, right, that have quoted this to themselves when your kids are wayward, right? Train up a child. You say, hey, like we raised them in church. They'll surely figure it out eventually, right? Is that what most people say about this verse? The Hebrew meaning for the phrase, the way he should go, is referring to a child's bend. That translation there is, it's their particular bend. It's their interests. It's what makes your child tick. I want you to think of it this way. This is wild. You and whoever you made this baby with, okay, took your genetic stuff and their genetic stuff and you put it together to make this human being. There's no one else in the whole wide world ever in the humanity of ever, ever billions and billions of people. No one could have made Abraham Trammell but Annie and I. No one. No one could have done that. And so when you think of it in that way, God is giving you something that he has specifically designed only that Abraham to do. Only that Ella, only that Danny. Two people, it gets a little, it blows my mind when I start to think about how God has wired us for this very specific task that only they can complete. So I have four kids, and I can tell you confidently that all four are completely different. Completely different. They have different interests. They have different ideas. And my job as a father, as a parent, is to raise my kids according to their bend. I need to take sincere interest in their lives. God does the same thing with us. Let me read in Ephesians 2:10. It says this, "For we, believers, Christians, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we may walk in them." See, parents, your kids are your biggest mission field. They're your biggest investment. You must guide them in their bend so that they can learn to love and fear God. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says this, "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up." He's saying, listen, this scripture, this truth, these commandments, that should be your whole world. Talk about it when you're getting up, when you're going to bed, when you're traveling. See, parents, we have a huge responsibility to our kids. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. You'll keep his word, parents. But see, your ability to guide and lead can only go as far as you've gone yourself, parent. You can't bring someone to a place that you haven't already been. Because that's not leadership. Y'all are just going together. But when I'm leading someone, I've been there and I'm saying, come this way. This is the best way. When I'm guiding my kids, I'm saying, I've done this and I've done this. Most of the wisdom that I have has come from the terrible decisions that I've made. I'm guiding them. See, you got to be there yourself to be able to bring them along with you. See, I think a lot of people in this room would raise their hand and call themselves Christians. Probably the majority. But how many of you sitting in this room right now, how many of you sitting online, sitting or standing online, whatever you're doing, how many of you have actually read our holy book? How many of you have read the whole Bible? The thing that Danny and I preach out of every single week, the book that your kids are being taught right this second back there in the back. And many of you, maybe most of you, have not even read this book cover to cover. All 66 books, all 31,102 verses. And so what? So you've put your faith in a book that you haven't even read. And what you know of God is mostly experienced on Sunday morning for maybe a couple hours. Do as I say, not as I do is a bad way to approach Christianity. That's a bad way to approach parenting. We have to be the example that our kids can follow so that you can effectively guide them and lead them as parents. The third and final aspect I'll cover today is love. 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 At the end of the day, it's about love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love, listen, you guys just listen to this definition of love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. See, this is another group of verses that I read at every wedding that I do. But it can be applied to your parenting. Today, church, it's all about love. Every breath that I take, every bit of instruction that I give, every sermon that I preach, every counseling session that I do, every time I tuck my kids into bed and pray with them every night, every single thing that I do should be covered in love. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Are you insane? You're about to smack me with that wooden paddle. I don't think you're going to feel anything other than maybe a little tired. A love that we need is a love that does all of these things listed in this 1 Corinthians 13. See, I'm seeing people get married without this love in mind. So you're not, but you're saying it to one another and you're making these promises and you have this definition. But it's not love. It's not love. It's conditional. It's I really like you, and if it doesn't work out, then we can move on. Every single thing should be about love. And just like discipline, everyone has a little different love language. In marriage counseling, I talk about each other's love languages. Do you need time with him to feel loved? Do you need him to buy you gifts? Do you need physical touch? There's a couple more love languages in there, but what you need to understand is that your relationship with your children and that love that you show them is going to be the same way. Each one has a little different love language. You go to try to hug Abe, and it's like just stiff as a board. He doesn't know what to do. It's like trying to hug this thing. But if I go to my little girls, man, they just run and sprint and jump into my arms. It's a little different. It's just different. But I was still, right? Okay. My kids have asked me on several occasions, Dad, what kid do you love more? Mackenzie just asked me 2 nights ago who I would choose between her and Ella. And Ella was like right there. So it's like when they're by themselves, you know what I'm saying? We could frame it a little different. But she asked that question and Ella looks at me. You know what I'm saying? And I just said, listen, baby, you would have to kill me. Like you would have to end my life. I would never, ever, ever, ever make that decision between any of my children. I would never make it in a billion years. But I love each one of them a little differently based on their bend. So parents, you need to love your kids. And because you love them, you'll disciple and you'll guide them. You'll never stop being their parent. I am 39, not 40 years old, and I still stand here an unashamed mama's boy. And if you ask my mom today, right now, she would still say that I'm her little boy. Parents, don't waste a day, mom and dad. Don't waste a day. As the praise team comes, I don't know, as far as a time of response, y'all need to repent for all the things you've thrown at your children. Get it, I get it though, it's hard. I know parenting is hard, but it's worth it. At the end of the day, you are investing in something that has the potential to change lives for Jesus. You could be raising the next Billy Graham. You could be raising the next Adolf Hitler too, I guess, but it's a different conversation. Anyway, I know it's tough. I know parenting is tough. I was going to actually leave a little time at the end to, like, if anyone had questions to ask about this, but I don't think we're going to do that because we don't have time and that might get crazy. But if you ever have questions about anything that we say up here, right, we try to be as biblically based as possible. Everything that we try to, like, okay, here. But if you ever have questions, please don't hesitate to ask us. I love questions. When you ask me questions, it means that you're actually thinking about what we're talking about, right? So anyway, as the praise team plays, we'll just have a moment of response. And man, love your kids. Discipline them, guide them, and love them. Appreciate you all.